This is in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the United States. We stand with you.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Good evening, and thanks for joining the ladies of After 7 with the Black Reality Think Tank. The material on this program may strike some viewers as vulgar, offensive, lecherous, and or serious. It is not suitable for anyone under the age of 17. The views and opinions expressed by the After 7 panel are those of the individual panelists and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Black Reality Think Tank. Any content provided by our panel or our guests are theirs alone and not intended to slander any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything. Now, I'm going to kick it to my girl, Maya Marie.
Thank you so much, Lady V. Hey, 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 y'all. It's your girl, Maya Marie, and I want to welcome you to another episode of the After 7 Radio Show. Tonight's ancestral profile is the glamorous Diane Carroll. Born Carol Diane Johnson on July 17, 1935, Diane Carroll was an African-American actress, singer, model, and activist. She was born in the Bronx, New York, but while still an infant, the family moved to Harlem, where she grew up. She attended Music and Art High School, where Billy D. Williams was one of her classmates. Carroll's parents were very supportive of her and enrolled her in dance, singing, and modeling classes. By the time she was 15, she was modeling in Ebony, honey. She began entering television contests under the name Diane Carroll. After high school, she attended NYU, where she majored in sociology, but left before graduating to pursue a career in show business. She promised her family that if her career didn't take off in 2 years, she would return to college. Carol's big break came at 18, though, when she appeared as a contestant on the Dumont Television Network program, Chance of a Lifetime, hosted by Dennis James. Carol took the $1,000 prize for a rendition of the Jerome Kern Oscar Hammerstein song, Why Was I Born? She went on to win 4 weeks in a row, and after that, the gig started pouring in. She made her film debut in a supporting role in Carmen Jones as Mert, a friend to the sultry lead character played by Dorothy Dandridge in 1954. That same year, she starred in the Broadway musical House of Flowers. A few years later, in 1959, Carol played Clara in the film version of George Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. Carol went on to star in many television series and musicals, and in 1962, she won a Tony Award for Best Actress, a first for an African-American woman, for her role as Barbara Woodruff in the Samuel A. Taylor and Richard Rodgers musical, No Strings. 12 years later, in 1974, she was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Actress for her starring role alongside James Earl Jones in the film Claudine. Carol's 1968 debut in the television series Julia made her the first African-American actress to star in her own television series, who did not play a domestic worker. So she wasn't a mammy, okay? It was a milestone in her career and won her the Golden Globe Award for Best Actress in a Television Series and a nomination for an Emmy Award in 1969. In 1984, she joined the cast of the nighttime soap opera Dynasty as the mixed-race jet-set diva Dominique Devereaux. Now, side story, that's when I was introduced to her. My mama used to watch Dynasty faithfully, and as a little girl, I used to be right there with her, wanting to be just like Dominique. Her role, her high-profile role on Dynasty, reunited her with a former classmate, Billy Dee Williams, who briefly played her on-screen husband, Brady Lloyd. She remained on the show until 1987, simultaneously making several appearances on its short-lived spinoff, The Colbys. Carol went on to star in several more television series, like A Different World, for which she received her third Emmy nomination for her recurring role as Whitley's mom, Marion Gilbert. She also played Eleanor Potter in The Five Heartbeats and made her animation debut in The Legend of Tarzan, lending her voice to the character of Queen La. She also starred in the hit medical drama, Grey's Anatomy. And in 2010, she was featured in the Uniglobe Entertainment's breast cancer docudrama titled 1 Minute. Diane Carroll was diagnosed with breast cancer in 1997 and stated that the diagnosis stunned her because there was no family history of breast cancer and she always lived a healthy lifestyle. She underwent 9 weeks of radiation therapy and still continued to work. She frequently spoke of the need for early detection and prevention of the disease. Sadly, she passed away at the age of 84, October 4th, 2019, last year, after her battle with the disease. So tonight, we salute and honor the glamorous actress of stage, screen, and television, and take heed to her message about breast cancer, Miss Diane Carroll. And with that, we're going to go ahead and get the show cracking, as we always do about this time. If you've been listening to us for the last couple of months and have become faithful listeners, as we hope you all are, you probably are starting to get to know us. But just in case you're new to the Ladies of After Seven, I want to introduce ourselves to you. Of course, I'm Maya Marie, and my co-hosts are the beautiful Shani B. Say hey, Shani.
Hey, Shani.
Hey.
And the beautiful Lady V. Say what's up to the people, V.
What's up, people?
All right. So we're discussing the deadly disease of breast cancer tonight. But before we delve into our topic, I know all of us have probably known someone, been related to someone, or been touched by someone who has passed away from breast cancer who is a survivor of breast cancer or is currently fighting this disease. And we want to dedicate this show to them. So before we get started, we want to do a brief moment of silence for those who we've lost, those who have survived, and those who are currently fighting this dreadful disease. So please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. Thank you so much for that moment of silence for those who have been affected by breast cancer, because we're talking about saving the tatas tonight, okay? Breast cancer, we're talking about it and how it affects our African-American sisters and what things we can do to increase our survival rate, because the death rates for African-American women are 40% higher than that of white women. So Shani, V, and I thought that this would be a great topic to talk about tonight, especially since today is October 1st, and October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So it was perfect, a no-brainer, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So that's why, you know, we definitely thought it was a great idea to tackle this topic tonight. I know that I'm particularly excited to be tackling this issue because breast cancer is near and dear to my heart. I'm a huge breast cancer advocate. You know, I'm always think pink all the time. I have so many think pink and pink stuff in the house. It's crazy. But it's near and dear to my heart because it claimed the life of my mom. My mom was my first best friend, and she passed away from breast cancer in 2004 at the age of 42. And I had two, you know, of course I was young, but I had two younger sisters who were 8 and 4 at the time. And before she passed, she made me promise her that I would raise them. So they've been with me ever since. So particularly for me, I've seen breast cancer up close and personal because not only did my mom battle the disease, her mom, my maternal grandmother, my grandma Marie, she also had breast cancer. She's still alive, thank God, and still fighting to be, you know, cancer-free. But I've seen, you know, the two of the most important women in my life battle breast cancer. So I've seen it up close and personal. I've seen the chemo, the radiation, the fatigue, the tiredness, being sick, all of that, I've seen it up close and personal. So us talking about this tonight is very, very near and dear to my heart. I'm not going to get emotional, but I just want you guys to know that it's particularly important for me because a woman's chance of, you know, developing breast cancer doubles if she has a first degree relative, a mother. And when I say first degree relative, that means a mother, a sister, or daughter who has been diagnosed with breast cancer. So, you know, usually women start to get mammograms when they turn 40. And because of the strong family history with my mother and grandmother both having breast cancer, and because my mom, you know, that's my first degree relative, my chances of developing breast cancer double. So I know, you know, that it is important to, you know, get screened because early detection does save lives. So I'm glad we're talking about this tonight, and we are going to get into it right away. We ain't gonna waste no time. We have an awesome guest tonight by the name of Shalonda Porter Walker, who is one, a survivor. And she has also worked in the medical field doing research in oncology. So she's experienced it firsthand and has done the research. So we want to welcome Shalonda to the show. Hey, Shalonda.
Hi. Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hey, doing all we're right? Fine.
Good.
Glad to have you. Since we know that you've had some experience with our topic tonight, we thought you'd be a great guest. I want to let you go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Shalonda Porter Walker now. I'm married in 2016. I am a breast cancer survivor. I've had I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2015. And so now it's been 4 years. So I'm a 4-year survivor. So I'm excited about next year because it'll be my 5th year. I work in the medical field. I do work in the medical field. I am a clinical research coordinator. So I've worked in oncology. So breast cancer was always near and dear to my heart. But since I've gotten breast cancer, I'm just more involved.
Good.
So did you have any family members? Because I know Maya was just talking about first-degree family members, like a mother, a sister, or a daughter being diagnosed with breast cancer. Did you have any first-degree family members who was diagnosed with the disease?
Well, you know, actually, at that time when I first found out I had breast cancer, I didn't know any family members that I knew that had breast cancer. So I reached out to – that was on my – on my mom's side, on my maternal side. So there was no one on my mom's side that had breast cancer. So I reached out to my father's side, which I wasn't close to. And so when I reached out to my father's side, once I found out that my aunt, my dad's sister, she had breast cancer. And so then that's when I started digging more into my family history. And then I seen that not just she had breast cancer, but one of her sister's daughters had breast cancer. So I started looking more into my family history. And I think that's been like a problem to me. I just feel that a lot of families don't really talk about things like that, because I think that so many, and I don't want to seem like that, but so many African Americans, they just feel like they don't want to talk about it. To other family members and let them know what they had, you know, especially the older families, they kind of keep it a secret and don't tell anybody like what's going on. So I knew my aunt and I had been seeing her, but I didn't even know that she had breast cancer. And so, that kind of bothers me as far as in our in African American families, where I just feel that we should talk more about things that's going on in our family and things that have happened in our past or what's going on. So then, you know, our kids can know what's going on or what they have or something like that.
And yeah. I just wanted to piggyback on that, because when my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, she was diagnosed in 98. And I was in high school then. I was 17. And she didn't tell me right away. You know, it was a while before she told me. You know, both her and my grandmother, you know, they would talk about it because they were both going through it. But my mother didn't tell me for a long time. So I didn't know. So I completely understand what you mean, where, you know, a lot of us as African American women, we kind of don't talk about those things until it gets really bad where you have to. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I know exactly what you mean with that. Wow.
So yeah,
only one.
No, and I kind of think about that, because I think about my kids. I have two boys, and with my two boys, I didn't share it with my boys right away. I was nervous because I didn't know what to do, because I think initially you're in shock. You don't know how to feel. You don't know what to do. So with that, after a while, once I got more, you know, comfortable and more involved, and, you know, then I was able to talk to my kids about it, because I felt like they needed to know. And not only just my kids, I needed to talk to my family, because then I have sisters. And and not just my sisters, I mean, well, men get breast cancer too. So, you know, I just needed to kind of talk to my family and just let them know, especially my sisters, make sure they got tested.
Absolutely.
And one thing that you did also say is we as Black people, And you are spot on. We don't talk about issues like medical issues and stuff like that that are plaguing our families or our communities. And that's why we have this platform to share these stories and to talk about these experiences, because, you know, our overall goal is to break down those barriers. Lady V, did you have a similar experience? I know you had an auntie that had an issue or passed away from breast cancer. Did she share her story with you, or how was that?
She kind of kept it a secret. I'm not sure why, because like she does have a daughter. She did keep it a secret for a little bit. I think it was just more so she just didn't want people, I don't know, feeling sad for her. She fought a good fight. We lost her, this would be going on 2 years this year, actually in a couple weeks. And then I also have a cousin who she struggled, but she's actually a survivor of breast cancer. And she was actually more open about it, my cousin. And I think it was just more so because she was younger and she wanted more support from her family. Like she just wanted everyone to know, like, this is something real. It affects even the younger one of us, not just older, but younger. And I'm with the family secrets. Like I don't condone it, because I just feel like when it comes to health and stuff, these are things that people need to know in your family. Knowing your family history, my mom has always made it very important that we knew our family history, even when it came to our health-wise, like knowing different things. Like I could go back in my family history of who's had a heart attack, who's had high blood pressure, who's had diabetes, just because all of it can trickle down, so it's very important.
I think a lot of times with the older relatives, I think, or, you know, just, and not necessarily that they have to be older, because like I said, my mother was 42. I think that she didn't want to worry me about it. And I think that a lot of times with some of our relatives and them not wanting to share what's going on with them, a lot of it is just like V said, they don't want anybody to feel sorry for them. They don't want anybody to treat them different. So they kind of go along and not wanting other people to know. So I kind of think that's where that comes from. And usually us, you know, the younger people coming up, we're more apt to share those things, whereas the older ones may not be, you know, they may not be more, you know, willing to do that. But Shalonda, I do have a question for you. I know you talked about when you were diagnosed and that you have been a survivor. So that is awesome. Congratulations. Going on 5 years. how did you find out? What happened that made you say, hey, wait, something's not right. I need to get this checked out.
Well, actually, mine was on my mammogram. I found out on my mammogram. So when I turned 40, usually women, of course, they a lot of women get their mammograms at 40. So I got my regular mammogram at 40. And when I went, they kind of told me at that time they seen something, but they just assumed that, okay, they felt like my breast was dense, and they just told me that they'll watch it, and then when I do my mammogram next year, that they'll see if there's any changes. So I agreed. They said, so with the first mammogram, you usually go and you get your mammogram, and then after that being your first one, they don't have pictures from before, so they have you come back, and that's scary too. A lot of women, they're like, why are they bringing me back? So that was kind of scary to me. But then that following year, they end up calling me, and then they told me to come back again. And my first thought was, oh, boy, here they go again, telling me to come back again. And then here I got to pay for another ultrasound. And of course, I did. I was thinking, like, I don't want to pay for another ultrasound. That's more money that I have to pay, and there's nothing going on with me. Well, at that time, I decided to go back and get that ultrasound done. And when I got the ultrasound done, and then they did a 3D mammogram. So on a regular mammogram, they seen something, but they didn't actually know exactly what it was. until the second year. That second year when I did it, I did a 3D mammogram, and that's what they said that's what found when they found the cancer. It was on a 3D mammogram. So that's why I encourage a lot of women to get the 3D. Even though a lot of insurances don't cover the 3D, I do tell a lot of my friends, make sure you get the 3D mammogram, because they detect the cancer off mine with 3D mammogram.
So I have a question. So, like, I know that there's, like, a huge issue with Black women and the medical or doctors, you know, diagnosing women early. Do you feel that, you know, was there an issue a year before? Why wasn't there, like, some type?
Hello? Hello?
Shani?
We're here.
Okay. Shani?
Okay.
I think Shani's, I don't know if Shani's mic went out. We're here.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know. She may be having some technical difficulties. But she'll be back. I know she's going to be back.
Okay.
Right. Well, I was going to say, because I don't know where she was going with her question, but I didn't even know that there were 3D mammograms.
I didn't either.
Oh, you didn't?
That's my first. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Because it's just like, I feel like your insurance companies don't tell you everything. Like, even with like a woman's annual pap smear, now it's like you don't have to get one every year. I'm going to be real honest. I make up some stuff and I'm going in every year. I'm like,
exactly.
I don't even care. I'm going in. Y'all going to pay for it.
Right. Absolutely. Now, what do you think about the genetic testing? Because I know there's a genetic test. And when my mother was alive, she was really adamant about me getting the genetic testing to see if I carried the gene. Because like you said, a lot of times, because I've been having to have my mammograms every year since my early 20s because of the family history.
Yeah.
And my mother was always adamant to be like, you know, you need to get tested to see if you carry the gene. And I was like, I don't know about that, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the genetic testing. What do you think about that?
I think the genetic test is good, but the only thing is, well, they do test you to find out if you have the genetic to, you are more of a carrier. But if you are not a carrier, they won't pay for the genetic testing. That's the only thing. If you don't carry the gene, they won't. Once they test your mom, and if they feel like your mom has a certain gene, then they'll get you tested. But if your mom don't carry that, then they won't pay for it. That's the only thing. They won't pay for the genetic testing. Just because your mom had breast cancer, a lot of times our insurance doesn't pay for it. It's not saying that you can't get it. You can still get it, but a lot of times our insurance don't cover like the things that they're supposed to.
Right. Understandable. Do you think that there is, now just going off when we're talking about the breast cancer, do you think that there's a scientific reason as to why? Because we, like when I was mentioning earlier, how it affects Black women more aggressively than it does white women. Do you think there's any scientific reason as to why breast cancer affects Black women more aggressively than other women?
Now, that answer, I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
No, okay. I don't know that answer.
Got you.
No.
Because I know when doing research, it's like, oh, my goodness, when you look at the numbers, you know, our death rates are higher, you know, and it's just like, why? You know, is it something we're doing? Is it something that we're eating? Is it the melanin in our skin? You know, it's like, what is it?
I think more Black women are, it's harder for them to go to the doctor to get the mammogram, to get tested. Mm-hmm. So I think that is more the problem. I don't think it's more, I just feel that more Black women should get their mammograms.
Gotcha.
And I think a lot of them don't get their mammograms. And I think when they do find out that they have breast cancer, it's so far gone. So that is the me personally, from working in research, that's the issues that we come up with.
That is a huge thing, because I know a lot of times, like you said, like when we talk about early detection and that it saves lives, it actually does, because a lot of our women don't find out about it until it's spread. And that kind of brings me to my next question, because, you know, you hear stage one and then you hear stage three or four, and it's like, oh, that's like the worst. You know, it's so bad. For our listeners who don't know about that, what's a simple way to describe stage one, the different stages? So like stage one versus a stage four.
Well, I think detecting as far as a stage, I think it goes to first, whatever you're, once you get diagnosed, if it depends on the size of the tumor. So basically that pretty much what it is. It's more of the size of the tumor. Then it goes from the size of the tumor, then it goes to where the tumor is. And of course, once it goes to four, it's more metastatic, where it goes to the lymph nodes, it goes to your brain, goes to your bone. So it depends on where it's at and how big it is. So that's where it is as far as the staging of cancer.
Got you. Okay. That makes sense. I didn't know that. So it depends on where the tumor is found and how big it is.
How big it is. And that's how they determine as far as the different stages.
Okay.
That's interesting.
That is very interesting to me. I just thought
it was because of like how fast it grows or something, honestly.
No, because they measure the tumor in different sizes. So it detects as far as, let's say, how big the tumor is. And then they can determine if the size of the tumor, if it's a grade zero or a grade one. And then it goes into stage two and stage three and stage four. And pretty much basically stage four is when it has went into your brain or your bones or something like that, and that's more metastatic.
Right, when it spreads everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah,
I
think
a question, like with you doing your research, like I know people have said, I'm not like the, I guess like the false negative of it would be that some of the products that us as Black women we use plays a part in why we might get breast cancer, like us getting relaxers, getting acrylic nails, things of that sort. Do you feel like there's any truth to that?
Honestly, me personally, I don't think there's any truth to it, because it seemed like everything now, it's always about cancer. But I wouldn't know specifically, but for me, I don't think that. From me with research, I don't think it, but I can't really just say, because I'm not a research doctor, so I don't know exactly and did the statistics and all that stuff. But me personally, I just don't think that.
What do you think some of the other contributors are to breast cancer? I know if you've had a strong family history, but like when I was talking about Diane Carroll in the Ancestral Profile, she was just saying she was stunned because she didn't have any history of breast cancer in her family, and she always felt like she lived a healthy life. So in your research, have you come across any other contributing factors to breast cancer?
Well, usually they say more like fatty foods. They talk about alcohol, certain meats. They talk about that. They talk about those things as far as especially food and the lack of vitamin D with Black women not getting enough sun. So it's different things that they talk about as far as plays a part of getting breast cancer. Because that was one thing that my doctor, she was She was always telling me, and my husband was in the room, and I was just like, you shouldn't have told me that right now. But she told me, don't, as far as alcohol, she was like, oh, you can't drink alcohol. And I was like, what? You don't understand. Right. I need that right now.
Right.
And so he was so hard on that, like, you know, you can't drink alcohol. And I was like, oh my God. So they say that alcohol plays a big part in breast cancer. So that was one of the things that bothered me in it. But, I mean, I'm not saying that I don't drink now. Of course, you know, I might drink a couple glasses of wine. And they do say red wine is good for you. But overall, they do talk about alcohol and they talk about fatty foods and basically not getting enough vitamin D.
Good to know. I didn't know about the alcohol.
Yeah.
Did not know about that. Okay. So, like, when we're talking about treatment, you know, once you have been diagnosed, you know, a lot of people, it's like, where do you go from here kind of thing. So can you walk us through the treatment and what are, you know, how that works once you've been diagnosed?
So basically, when you are diagnosed with breast cancer, then there comes where you have to choose your doctor. You have to choose your team. You have to choose a specific team that you want to take care of you. You have to feel comfortable with that team because that team is that's who you're going to be working with for a very long time. So you have to pick the right team, you know, that makes you feel comfortable. And after you find that doctor, then it goes to, let's say, with me, I didn't have to get chemotherapy. So that was a blessing. I was a stage one. I was early detection. So all I got was my 9 weeks of radiation. And with radiation, you go for 9 weeks. You go Monday through Friday every single day for 9 weeks. So that was pretty rough for me because it was like every morning at 7 o'clock, I had to go Monday through Friday. I had to go and get my radiation, and getting that radiation, I end up getting it's like getting an X-ray, but I was getting burnt. So my breast got burnt. It got darker and darker, and then my skin came, you know, my skin, and it got red. So it's, a lot of people think like, oh, you just went through radiation, where they don't understand radiation was a lot. And then, you know, you're fatigued, you're tired. So radiation, that's what I went through. So I didn't have to do the chemotherapy, but a lot of women do have to get chemotherapy, and they have to decide what do they want to do. And I think they can either do the standard treatment for breast cancer, where the doctors can give you, tell you like a certain treatment plan that they give you, or they might say, well, we also have these clinical trials that we do. And because you have this type of cancer, you can get into this clinical trial. And that's where my job came in. Now, that's where my job comes in now, where I talk to women or men, as far as getting clinical trials. And I think that a lot of African-American, I think we're scared to do clinical trials because we're just going to go with this regular standard of treatment that you've given everyone else instead of you trying something new on me. No, we're not going to go on that side. We're just going to continue to get the standard of care, which I want people to understand that even though you're doing this clinical trial, that something new that they're trying out, that standard treatment was once a clinical trial too.
Right.
So, you know, so just to, I want everybody to understand that it's okay to try new treatments so you can be able to see what works for you, because what works for someone else don't mean it's going to work for you. So,
absolutely.
So basically with women, as far as they get their doctor, they decide their clinical trial, and then, I'm sorry, not their clinical trial, they start their treatment. And they kind of basically go from there and just see what works for them as far as with their chemotherapy. then they decide if the doctor decided they need radiation or if they need to get a mastectomy. So those are conversations that they need to talk with the doctor as far as their surgery is concerned, as far as do they just need a lumpectomy or do they need to have a mastectomy to take both of their breasts off. Again, every patient is different. It depends on exactly the person and what they went through or what kind of breast cancer and stage they are. And then after you have your chemotherapy and after you have your radiation, then you have to go into a hormone therapy. So some women go on to Herceptin, where they have to do for a year, where it's it's like an infusion that they do once every 3 weeks, where they have to get a hormone infusion. But with me, I didn't have to do that. I had to do tamoxifen, where I had to do it for 5 years, which was a pill. So everyone is just totally different on what they do. But basically, the hormone therapy and the chemotherapy, it targets the cancer, basically.
Got you. So when you're after you're diagnosed and now you're picking what your treatment is going to be, you're picking who your team is going to be, do they give you like a catalog to pick these people from, or are they just kind of presenting these options to you?
Well, what happens is I think that whatever facility you're at, let's say you go to Ascension or if you go to Aurora, they have specific people that they work with, and you decide on what facility that you want to go to and where you're comfortable at, because you might have had your mammogram at Frater, but you don't want to go to the Frater doctors. You might want to go to Aurora doctors, but overall, those facilities have teams of people that they work with in their cancer facilities.
Got you. Thank you. I didn't know all of that. You know, like I was saying before, you know, when my mother was diagnosed in 98, I was 17, and she didn't share with me that she had breast cancer. So I didn't know about all of this. I didn't find out until at the point where she was having a partial mastectomy and then a full mastectomy and then radiation and chemo, you know, right after diagnosis, I didn't know how that worked. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes. And I see we got Shani back. You back, girl?
Yeah, I'm back, girl. My computer it decided to restart and update anyways. But I do have, I don't know where I left off, but I have a question. True or false? Because this is like one of the misconceptions that people have about breast cancer. Can men get breast cancer?
Yes, men can get breast cancer.
Yes. And I think that a lot of people don't understand it. I know Beyonce's father is actually, I don't know if he's in remission or what, but he actually was diagnosed with breast cancer. And then also, true or false, does the lack of vitamin D have anything to do with women getting breast cancer or having breast cancer?
They do say that lack of vitamin D can contribute to it. Not saying that you can get breast cancer from a lack of vitamin D, but they do put that in one of, they do say lack of vitamin D is a contribute to it.
So also a contributor, diet. And I don't know if you guys talked about this before, you know, while I was, you know, on break, but diet, you know, I know my auntie is a nutritionist and she has her PhD in nutrition, and she was on our show years ago, and she talked about the importance of your diet after being diagnosed with cancer. And one of the things that she talked about was how sugar feeds cancer and feeds disease, and not just sugar, but the things that, you know, break down into sugar, like carbohydrates and, you know what I'm saying, just anything or carrots, you know, even fruits and vegetables that are that have sugar in it. So what is your experience or what is your knowledge based around diet and cancer? And I know when we talked, you also talked about wine or drinking, you know, and yes, how, you know, that had to be cut out your diet.
Yes, that's what we actually went over that. We did go on that while you were on break, but we did discuss as far as consuming fatty foods, alcohols, certain meats and stuff. So we did talk about that. But after breast cancer, they do talk about how you should eat more fruits and vegetables and whole grains and chicken and fish, and how stuff like hot dogs and other stuff like that is not good for you. But that's what they say. They say that that stuff is not good for you. Yes.
Yeah, the genetically modified.
That's just
modified.
Make it seem like your diet is just damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yes.
Not really. You know, like, I sound so stupid, but like when I got pregnant and like my mom, she wasn't, you know what I'm saying? She, the way I was brought up, we weren't brought up off of, hey, this is a genetically modified object. This was this, you know, I didn't know what, you know, processed food or the term processed food, what it actually meant and how much I consumed until I was pregnant. You know, this girl was saying, yeah, stay away from processed foods. You're pregnant. And I'm like, oh, what is that? You know, and I feel so stupid saying it, but I mean, it's like the people that I was brought up around, you know, they didn't know what it was, or the adults didn't teach us. They didn't tell us, you know, when I went to grandma's house, everything was from scratch. You know, we didn't have to eat out of the box or, you know, we didn't have processed foods, but that plays a huge role.
Yeah, that is
true.
I believe that, like, when it comes to diets, because I mean, even I know for me, when it comes to like sugars, it's like artificial sugars are horrible, but then even natural sugars can be too much sometimes too. And I know with me having two children and diabetes running in my family, I try to keep sugars down. So it's kind of funny how people are like, well, you don't buy your kids candy, like Halloween can come around, everybody, but we got a basketball, you can keep that. I don't want none of it. Like, people give me stuff that have candy in it, and I literally throw it in the garbage. Like, my kids be so upset, but it's just like, for what? My kids have a natural high. They have a natural sugar high off their own. So it's just like, now you're telling me I got to give up my wine. And I'm feeling some kind of way right now. Like,
no,
I was just
but they do say red wine. They say red wine is good. So the red wine.
And see, I don't really like red wine. It gives me a headache. I feel like because it has too much sugar in it. Like, I don't do sugar.
Well, see, Shamanda, I'm hearing you say we ain't got to give it up, but just in moderation, right?
In moderation, yes, in moderation.
Okay.
But at the time,
I can eat glass every other day.
Yes. Well, when I was going through it, I couldn't drink it alcohol at all, and that's what I was saying. I was like, my husband was in the room, and he kept telling me like, well, you know, I'm not supposed to drink any alcohol, and I'm thinking like, oh my God, why was he even in here?
Right.
So he was able, but I appreciated that because he helped me move forward as far as knowing the things that I was supposed to, reminding me of the things that I was supposed to do. So I appreciated him helping me with that. But yeah, just not to drink alcohol was hard. So now I just, you know, drink a little glasses of wine every now and then. I don't drink the other stuff.
Right. Now, I know we talked about, you know, we were talking about the treatment and you walking us through treatment and how it is after your diagnosis. So when we talk about treatment and you doing your research, are you seeing that that treatment for breast cancer is evolving and getting better? Are we getting more resources? You know, is it becoming better as we move forward?
I think things are getting better because more people are talking about it. I think more people are getting involved. We have more resources out there to help us with breast cancer, not just with all types of resources. Like you have the Susan J. Komen Fund. They help people as far as if you don't have money for a mammogram, they help you with that. We have the Women's Health Network. They help women with if you're not actually diagnosed and you need a mammogram or an MRI, they help you. So we have people that are helping more people that have breast cancer to find out exactly what's going on with them. And there's so many people out here that there's so many people that give charity and that they give people money to help as far as their housing and their bills and just money and gas money to get from and to their doctor's appointment. And right. even though I was working a full-time job, but once you get those bills, it becomes really hard because here you are trying to maintain your life, maintain your family, but you're also trying to take care of these bills that are piling up. And we all know that insurance say they pay so much, but you still get all these bills. So I feel personally we have a lot more resources out here to help us.
And I feel like it's more progressive too, like with early detection, like stage one, stage two, you know, you hear so many different success stories. And for those of you who are listening in, you guys can call us at 215-490-9832 if you have any questions or comments for our guests or for the panel. That's all I had, Maya. I'm sorry. That's all I had.
No. I'm good. I was just gonna say that if anyone was listening, they are more than welcome to call in. Any questions, comments, or feedback. And we're gonna get ready. We're almost at the top of the hour when we go to break. So we're gonna go ahead and come to break, and we'll see you after the.
I'm in heaven. surviving. What? Keep on surviving. What?
Hey, 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 and welcome back. Welcome back to the After 7 radio show.
I come to say to you this afternoon,
we have the Time for Awakening media lineup, Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds with host Brother Jihad Ahmed, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with host Dr. Mawia Cambone and Sister Nataki Cambone. 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., Conversation Reparations on the first and third Mondays. Tuesdays, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., we have the Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. Thursday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., you've got us, After 7, the ladies of After 7, with Shani B, Lady B, and myself, Maya Marie. Friday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., we've got the Time for Awakening. Saturday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., we've got the Black Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Elders of Sankofa with the host Alfonso Watkins. And Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening. And then the Farmers Program will be coming soon. So we want to welcome you all back to Saving the Tatas. We're talking about breast cancer tonight. And we have our special guest, Shalonda Porter Walker, who has been giving us a lot of information about breast cancer, about treatment, and about the whole process. So we definitely want to thank you again for being with us tonight, Shalonda, and sharing with us the information they have regarding the topic. So usually around this time, we kind of open it up to our audience. If they have any questions, comments, concerns for the panel as well as for Ms. Porter Walker. So with that, we'll go ahead and get right to it. I show, looks like a caller in Milwaukee. The last four digits of your telephone number is 5737. Your mic has been unmuted. Did you have any questions, comments, or concerns for our guests or any of the panelists? I guess not. I guess they just want to listen tonight.
I think they just want to listen to this. Yeah, I think we should keep it going. You know, we have, we've been having some great dialogue, and I'm learning so much, you know, just from, you know, y'all personal experiences and stuff. So I think this is great conversation. So
absolutely.
Keep it going.
So I had a question. I'm not sure if this is something newer or what, but the triple negative breast cancer, they talk about that. Shalonda, do you know anything about that and how it affects the African-American race?
I know about the, I know about that cancer, but I guess I'm trying to figure out what do you want to know about it?
Yeah, V, what kind of research you did? Because, you know, you are a researcher. You always picking up some stuff or whatever. Right? Like, tell us what you found out.
Well, from what it was saying, it was like it was more common among Black and African-American women than any other ethnicity. And then it had, like, three different types, the HER2 negative, progesterone receptor negative, and estrogen receptor negative, which are I'm kind of like, I don't know what all of that means, but they label it under a triple negative breast cancer. Like, it's more, it has a poor prognosis compared to other subtypes of breast cancer.
So it has a what kind of prognosis? Like, is it more?
A poor one. So I'm taking it. It seems as if it's, like, less detected, but then it almost sounds like it's more progressive. So I was just wondering if she knew anything about it where she could explain.
The only thing I do know that is a more progressive cancer, but that's pretty much all I can say I pretty much know about that cancer. It's a rough cancer. I will say mm-hmm. that.
So, I mean, I guess like I'm just, cause it seems like Black people get hit the hardest with everything. It's always we, you know, get diagnosed with this. We more likely to die with this. I mean, it's just, man, I ain't trying to be a Debbie Downer here. It's just like, dang.
But you know what, too, though? It's not just Black women. It's a lot of, it's all women.
Okay.
It might just seem like that because you just hear of more Black women having breast cancer, but it's all over. It's Asians, white women, it's everybody. It's a lot of women that actually get breast cancer, and it's a few men that gets breast cancer. You'd be surprised mm-hmm. of how many men get breast cancer and pass on from breast cancer. You know,
that's so horrible. I hate to say it, but I mean, like, hearing that, it's like a sense of relief, because, you know, I hear so much about Black women this, Black women that, we more likely to do this, when we more likely to die from that.
No, I've been working in cancer care for so long. It's not just Black women. It's all women. It's a lot of different races of women that actually are diagnosed with breast cancer. And we get a lot of breast cancer, but a lot of white women, you know, they get more of the skin cancer and other cancers that they get. So I think we all have our share.
Yeah.
So it's not all bad for us.
Right. I actually, it made me think about something. I can remember my mom being in the hospital. We were talking to her doctors because she was really adamant about me being tested. And back then, my breasts weren't that big. And I was young. I was like, well, my breasts not big, so I don't need to be tested. They're not, no, I know you mentioned before having the talk about them being dense. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, you know, does it the size of
Hello?
We might have lost it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just asking, does it matter what the size of the breasts are as far as density?
Oh, well, as far as density, yes, it do, because the smaller breasts are more dense, but it doesn't matter. If you have small breasts, they can still detect as far as if you have breast cancer. I'm more of a smaller breast,
okay.
And they were actually able to, you know, find it on me too. So it doesn't matter if you're small or larger breasts. That doesn't matter.
Can we talk about this mammogram thing? Because, like, I had a scare when I was, like, 26. And they literally, my breasts weren't that big, but they pulled and flattened my breasts. I never thought that it was going to be.
like a pancake girl.
Yes, I was just, I mean, the experience was crazy, but I know it was definitely important because, of course, you know, at 26, you could still have, I've heard of people, you know, who've yes. had breast cancer at 26. Can we talk about the mammogram process? Because, I mean, a lot of people are scared. Like, my yes. best friend, she has implants. And I thought her implants were going to pop, you know, like with pushing it down and all the squeezing that they do and stuff like that. But she was able to get a mammogram with no problem. Can we talk about that? Because, I mean, a lot of people might be scared about the mm-hmm. process of, yeah.
But I think that is one of the things that a lot of people are nervous about. They are scared about getting a mammogram because they hear so many horror stories of people saying how they do as far as, you know, pulling your breast and pulling, you know, pulling your nipple and pulling your breast. But that's what they have to do, I guess, to get the accurate pictures that they need. to get the different views. But they do a lot, though.
So, Shani, your friend's implants didn't pop?
No, they didn't pop. And she gets them because I think her mother had, or her grandmother had, breast cancer. So she gets them a lot, you know, and her implants did not pop. You know, so, I mean, they say,
wow.
And I asked the, yeah, I know, right? I asked the lady who did the mammogram, I said, you know, can you do this? Are you supposed to be doing this? And she said, yeah, girl, we do it all the time. You know, mm-hmm. this is the procedure. Anybody with the implant, little breast, small breast, big breast, you know, we can make it happen. So, yeah.
Wow. Because I would just think they would bust because you... You know, you can squeeze in between those two plates.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
Ouch.
Wow.
Yeah.
They can withstand pressure from what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like they just need to figure out a gentler process when it comes to mammograms, just because it is uncomfortable. Like,
it is very
uncomfortable. Not all women want their tatas pulled, yanked, stretched. Like, that's just not what it is. Like, I feel like the scariest part for me of a mammogram is the biopsy. Only because my mom had a scare a few years ago, and she just said she would take a mammogram over a biopsy any day just because it was so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And for our listeners who don't know what a biopsy is, did you want to walk through that process, V?
To me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you girl. Well, I've never had one. My mom did. So I just felt I'm not too sure what it really is. I just feel like it's just when they go in, so they will numb the section and they go in with the needle and they take a sample of the tumor or the lump,
whatever
they're trying to
fix,
the tissue, to see if it's benign or not. So, luckily my mom, it was benign. So we got lucky there. But I think for her, that was like the most crucial. I think it took 48 hours to get the results back, or 72. So it was the worst couple of days of our life, though, because she was on pins and needles the entire time.
But the statistics on, you know, younger women being diagnosed with breast cancer, I mean, I feel like, I don't know if I'm a conspiracy theorist or what, but I feel like it's a lot to do with, you know, our diets and what we eat, you know, and I feel like, you know, with cancer, period, you know, like, almost all of the food in our grocery stores are genetically modified. You know, we're not having, there's unless you're going to a 100% organic store, if you don't see seeds in your grapes, they are genetically modified. You know, we think that the easier way out is the better way, but the longer down the road, you know, we're paying for that, you know, and our bodies are paying for that. And I think that we need to really think about that, that what we are, what we eat, and we're not genetically modified objects. So why are we consuming genetically modified food?
Because it's easy and that's what we grew up on.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't nobody want to buy organic because it's more expensive.
Right. You know, I mean, not saying that it's right, because we should be eating more foods that are not processed. But I think it's just, you know, the way we grew up that it's easier. And then a lot of times when you're buying foods that are not processed, it like V said, it's a little more expensive. So, you know, we do have to we've got to get more into eating better, you know, to live instead of living to eat.
You know, Elijah Muhammad has this wonderful book. It's called How to Eat to Live. He has volume 1, volume 2. Definitely check it out because, I mean, he's dropping some jewels in that book. And he's telling us of whatever the format on what to put in our body and what not to put in our body. And the things that we don't even think of, you know, for example, he talks about nuts. He says nuts are like eating rocks. There's no reason, there's no need for him. And I think this brother lived a long, healthy life. And I think that we really need to think about, you know, the what we're doing. And then on top of that, like, yeah, it's easy, but man, you know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff that we're eating and the damage that we're doing to our bodies now, we're going to pay for it when we're 60. We're going to pay for it when we're 40 and 50. I think we just need to change.
Dang, we gonna pay for it when we 40. Like, that's old. That's kind of hard.
My knees.
Whoa.
Sis, my knees hurting now. My knees are hurting now. I'm not even 40 yet, but my knees.
I'll be 40 in January. Okay? So I'm like, whoa. She kind of said that like 40, 50, and 50 was old.
Oh,
and you
man.
Were good, boo, because you don't even look like you about to be 40.
Good genetics, girl. Good genes.
I mean, good genes, but I also want to uplift, you know, our grandmas. Like, my grandma was a gardener. Like, she literally legit lived a long life. She grew almost 90% of her, you know what I'm saying, vegetation out of her own garden. No pesticides. Everything was natural. And then on top of that, she had dementia, you know, but she lived, I think it was like 2 times the life expectancy for dementia. She lived like 12 years with the disease. And I feel like a lot of, you know, her life expectancy had to do with her diet, you know, her eating, mm-hmm. you know, vegetables and her eating, you know yeah. what I'm saying, healthy, and her cooking most of her food and not going to the restaurant all the time.
Right.
So we really... Mm-hmm. need to change that, because we don't know what they be putting in these foods.
I have to always be like the devil's advocate. I guess for me, the only reason why I feel like that is an important part, but then it's also like one of those type of things, is because it's like you can know people who have been healthy their entire life and get cancer and die from cancer. People
That's
who
true.
Lung cancer, Diane. They never smoked a day in their life.
Yeah, yeah
even exactly. with breast cancer, they could be a vegan lifestyle and have been all their entire life. And yet they still get it. So sometimes I just feel like there's other things that can go into it besides the genetics, what you're eating. Maybe it's something else. Like sometimes I feel like you conspiracy theorists, what the heck is in some of the stuff that we use on our bodies? Like earlier I asked, like, could it be the chemicals that Black women use on their hair? Because that's one of those yeah. things that goes around, like, because of the lie and no lie, all the chemicals that we put is going on your scalp. So think about it. Like, is it getting into something, your bloodstream or anything? Because if you leave it on too long, it burns you, and then you burn
Absolutely.
Your head off. Like,
your skin is the largest organ on your body. Yeah,
deodorant.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's going in your body. But you know what? That's
yeah.
so funny that you mentioned that, because, yeah, it does. Somebody also said that, and I hate to talk about, you know, what somebody said or anything like that, but I do have a friend who had a friend who battled with breast cancer, and she used to get those Brazilian blowouts and stuff. That stuff has chemicals in it, and she talked about, you know, for I forget the chemical that's in it, but yeah, it is a cause for breast cancer, or for cancer, not breast cancer, but it is a cause for cancer. Some of the things that we do, like the relaxers, yeah, that stuff does do stuff to our bodies, you know. We and makeup, foundation, there's so many other different things. Shalonda, I
yeah.
know you like this ain't in, you know.
No, I am enjoying it. Because you're absolutely right. And that's also too deodorant. They talk about how deodorant
yeah.
is that's another thing. So yeah,
aluminum.
I'm enjoying this
mm-hmm.
conversation.
Aluminum. Like
yeah, it's that even
aluminum.
Where you live, because of like the power lines, way back when, like different power lines, when they started putting them up in neighborhoods, even in the suburban neighborhoods used to fight so hard not to have power lines in their neighborhoods because they felt like it was a cause for brain cancer, especially in young children. So it's just like, think about our Black community, what's around in our Black community. We used to have factories in some of our Black communities. You never see factories, power plants, stuff like that in white communities, but you see them in Black communities.
See a lot of liquor stores too.
I actually have a question. I know we when we hear about breast cancer, you know, when we talk about mastectomies and partial mastectomies and full mastectomies, and we talk about, like, was it Angelina Jolie who had both of her breasts taken off because she didn't want to get breast cancer. Shalonda, do you think that's beneficial or no?
I think it depends on the person.
Okay.
It depends on the person on what they decide, because some women might have the genetics of breast cancer, and then instead of them wanting to, you know, go through the process of even getting breast cancer or anything going on, they just would rather just get their breast cut off. So I think those are women that just don't even want to go through the whole process. Yes.
So does that help with them? Does that prevent them from not getting it?
It also depends on what kind of breast cancer they, what kind of genetic they have.
Okay.
What kind of genetic it is, because I mean, just because you get a mastectomy don't mean that your cancer can't grow. You know what I mean? Like your cancer still can grow. So it depends on the, and I guess I say that because I know of someone who they just talked to them about that, and they were saying that they was going to get a mastectomy, but getting a mastectomy, you later on you might have problems. So if you don't go through the whole process, you might get a mastectomy, but maybe you should have got chemotherapy. So it depends on the type of cancer that you have.
Got you. Wow.
I did not know that. I know a lady who had a mastectomy because her breast cancer ran strong in her family. Her mother had it. Her grandmother had it. And I think an auntie or two had it. And so in her 20s, she ended up getting a double mastectomy reconstruction. And she hasn't had it from what I know. But I never knew that you could still get it from, even if you had a mastectomy. I never knew that. I thought, like, if you did that, then it's like, oh, okay, there's no chance of you getting it now. But that's good
but
to know.
I think it depends on the type of cancer that you have, or your genetic depends
the
on
genetic makeup.
Okay,
because I would think that if you carry the gene, even though you have the breast removed, if you still have the gene, it is a chance that you could still get it if you carry that gene. No.
I think I'm just like in awe right now, because I mean, like, I'm sorry, Shalonda,
okay.
I'm going to let you answer the question. I'm like, wow, you know, people who spend all the money or whatever to get their breasts removed, and then they are still like prone to getting breast cancer. And I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense, right? Because like your breasts, like fatty tissues, you know what I'm saying? It's your breasts, they're fat, you know, it's
fat,
you know, it still can grow. They can grow back.
So I guess it depends on where the actual cancer is too.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay.
And make sure, and the number one thing is to always make sure that you get it before it goes to your lymph nodes, because
that's when it spreads.
That's when it spreads.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think the number one thing as far as with women, I think that we all, as women, we all should do a daily check just to make sure you don't feel any lumps. Because just because you know, a lot of people always think like, oh, I can't get it, or I don't have, it's not in my family. But just always just do breast checks. Just always do breast checks, and just check when you get out the shower, and just make sure you don't feel anything, because you never know.
Right. I've seen a lot of people. I've seen people where they've had it in one breast, and they have like the partial mastectomy, and then it's come back in the other breast.
Any other breast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just like, wow. You know, like, it's so, so crazy, because like even with my mom, she had the partial at first, and then she went through radiation and then chemo. And then, so when she went through the chemo, her hair fell out, eyelashes, eyebrows, everything. And then after the cancer, you know, they got it all with the chemo and the radiation. Then after that, like, her hair grew back, and she was fine. And she was fine for a few years. And then all of a sudden she went to like having trouble with her leg, and like her leg would give out and she would fall, and we didn't know what was going on. So then when they went back to find out what was going on, they found that she had tumors. The tumors had went to her spine. So the breast cancer had moved, and it had went to her spine, and then it started to spread, and then it was in her lymph nodes, and then, you know, it like you said, it metastasized, and it, that was it. You know, they had informed us that she was terminal. So it's just crazy how you can have it, and then you go through treatment, and then you're fine. You know, like I said, she was fine for a couple of years. I mean, she would still go back to her oncologist and be checked and everything like that. But she was fine, living normal life, hair grew back, everything. And then all of a sudden it came back. And when it came back, it was worse.
I feel like that's always my biggest fear, though, with any cancer, whether it's breast cancer, stomach cancer, any cancer. I feel like it's like when a person goes through all of these treatments and then they go through remission and they're fine for, like you said, a couple years. It's as if it just comes back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll be feeling like, dang, y'all did not get it all. Like, that was, like, when my auntie passed away, I was, like, I feel like my I understood my cousins. Like, she's the only child, so she was extremely hurt. Like, this is her mom.
Yeah.
And then for me, you know, my auntie was, like, a second mom, too. So for me, it was just like, I was pissed. Like, I'm going to be honest, I was pissed because I just felt like, y'all didn't get it all. You just didn't do your job. But then it was just like, I couldn't be mad because it's life and things happen. And she was in remission for a couple of years. She was okay living her life. And then it came back. And like you said, it got through her lymph nodes and everything else. So it came to a point where she just didn't want to anymore. It was, and it was funny because, or not funny, but it was hard because the second time she really kept it a secret because she didn't want to go through chemo or anything. It was just, I'm going to just let God take his course. If it's my time, it's going to be my time. And she wouldn't let nobody know. And every time I would talk to her, I'm like, Tika, you just seem like you can't shake your toe. You okay? You need to bring me something. And she's like, no, honey, you know, it's just a little cold. And I'm going to get over it. It's okay. And I didn't want to say nothing to my cousin because I'm just like, maybe it's a secret, you know? So I just never said anything. I just said something to my mom. And my mom was like, well, I'm not sure what's going on. If TT hasn't told you, then, you know, just let it be. But in my heart of heart, I just knew, I'm like, it's back, you know, and she just wants to, and then she kept getting smaller. She was already small, but she was getting smaller. And before we knew it, it was like she was, you know, moving out of her house. She was moving in with her elderly mom. And then before we knew it, we were putting her in a hospice care. And before we put her in, or by the time we put her in a hospice care, it literally, within like a couple days, she was gone. So for me, I was upset, but it was just like, how did it come back so fast with a vision?
Yeah.
And I just kind of wanted to be like, TT, you strong enough. We got you. You can fight. But it was also like, I could see the tired in her face. Like, she's tired, you know, like, I'm okay with this. Like, if it's God's plan, I'm okay with it, you know? So sometimes I get angry at breast cancer because I'm like, it's been around for so long. All these different cancers. There's like, how in the world do we raise this much money and we still have not found a cure or some type of cure, something better to just kind of help, you know? So that's always like my thing with when it comes to the remission and it coming back.
Yeah.
I think it's also, you know, not, you know, downplaying or, you know what I'm saying? It's like a lack of resources and a lack of, you know what I'm saying, education on what it is, how to fight it, and all that other stuff, because we're not privy to like the best of the best healthcare or the best of this. You know, we get, you know, what's in our community. You know, we don't have the financial resources to go to the Cancer Center of Chicago or Arizona. You know, I mean, I don't know. From what I'm hearing, it's super duper expensive. You know, hey, if you get diagnosed with cancer, you know what I'm saying? You have expenses, you know, and with healthcare and pre-existing, you know what I'm saying? Like issues, like some insurance companies don't want to cover a lot of stuff. So, I mean, we got so many different issues when it comes to, and I'm trying not to be the negative Nancy on the call or anything like that. Maybe I should be quiet, you know, but I do want to leave. I'm serious. I do want to leave, you know what I'm saying, like the listeners and the audience members with, hey, what to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's next? You know, hey, after being diagnosed or, you know, prevention, like, we should talk more about that. You know, I'm gonna be quiet and let everybody else talk because I don't want to be negative.
Well, no, I feel like it's important, one, to talk about it. For me, I feel like it's important to talk about it, especially in the Black community. We need to talk about it. We need to not have any secrets. As families, we need to just let each other know what is our medical history. Like, do you know what your mom's medical history is? Do you know what your grandmother's medical history is? We need to know those things. Even on your father's side, we need to know your auntie, your grandma, your daddy, your grandpa. We just need to know and communicate those things. And sometimes I know it's hard to talk about because no one wants to have to relive things that made them sad, like if they died of prostate cancer or something. No one wants to relive that, but it's important to know that because it's genetic at the end of the day. And then, as we all have said, we just need to make sure we're all doing our daily checks. Even if you got a husband or whatever, shoot, if he not gonna do it for him. Like, do this check for him. Dude, raise your arm up. Let me feel. Like, don't feel no kind of way. You let me feel him if we in the bed together. So let me feel him up to make sure I don't feel him ass. You know?
So, Shalonda, do you and your husband do the daily checks? The checks outside?
Look, sometimes, but majority of the time, I do them myself. Okay. I definitely do my checks.
Doing checks at the tie-ties will bring us closer together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Check for the tie-ties. You know, we should make a date where we all go and get mammograms. How about that? I know our insurance plans are probably different, but you know what I'm saying? We can find a place or whatever to do it. And we should also encourage our listeners, you know, not only you get checked, but bring your sister, bring your mama, bring a friend. You know, let's all go get checked.
Make it a girl's date. Yes.
Make it a
girl's
date.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really important. It's so important to encourage your sisters to get checked as well, you know, because that's what it's a sisterhood. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not just me thinking about myself. It's me thinking about V. It's me thinking about Shani. It's me checking Shalonda to make sure she checked, to make sure she, you know, she ain't feel no lumps or she didn't feel anything abnormal. You know, it's so when they say early detection saves lives, I'm telling you, it is so, so important. I know Shalonda can attest to that. You know, because that's why she's here with us right now. So, you know, we all need to stay on top of it and encouraging each other. You know, like Fox 6 does the buddy check on the 6th of the month, you know, every month. You know, just letting you know that, hey, did you do your self-exam today? Or, you know, did you have your man do your self-exam?
Yes. Because if we don't, then, you know, we're losing out on tatas around here. So we really do need to encourage it just to say, we're going to say these tatas, you know. I don't know about y'all. I like my itty-bitty titty committee. Like,
yes,
like,
exactly.
I'm going to check on mine, and I'm going to check on my sisters. And we got to remember, like, just because if your grandma had it and it bypassed your mom, it might get to one of your siblings. It can skip generations. Yeah, it can be silent and dormant for a couple of years. So it's just one of those things with anything, you know, losing your hair is hereditary. Everything is pretty much hereditary. So we got to make sure that we're checking on each other. You know, I got 6 sisters, so it's just like amongst us, ain't no telling what the 6 of us, what could happen, you know. So I'm sure going to be sending out a mass text, and I'm the baby, so I'm going to be like, I hope y'all checking y'all tatas. I'm just checking in on tata girls.
We forgot about the new term for tatas. It's Tia and Tamara, the twins.
Now that's something new, Shannon. I ain't heard that.
Tia and Tamara, one of them young girl songs. Like one of, I don't know. It was probably one of them young girls.
That's
City
a
girls,
new one.
Something ratchet. I don't remember.
That's good though.
Tia and Tamara. Yes, we got to make sure the twins are straight. You know, I'm not a part of the itty bitty titty committee. Sorry, Shalonda and Lady V. I am very well. I'm saving the tatas. I love the tatas, but no A cup for me. No B cup.
No, none over here either. I'm sorry.
Look, I can get it too, whether I'm small or big. like, I'm checking on my A through Z. You need to all get checked out, period. And not, and even knowing now that it's if important. You have breast implants, because I didn't even know that if you yes. have breast implants, you can, you need to still get checked because you could probably possibly get breast cancer. I'm
That's
be honest,
right.
I got schooled today because right. I did not know that either. I was probably just being, you know, a little bit of an idiot not knowing that part, but...
You know, we all had our challenging moments. So,
we had some aha moments tonight.
Yes, we did. It was a great conversation. And I'm just so proud that you drove this conversation, Maya. And, you know, you too, Lady V, because, I mean, I learned so much too.
Absolutely. Like, you know, I was just saying before, you know, it's always dear to my heart because it's what took my mom from me and my sister. So, you know, and I see my grandmother had it. So it's always going to be something that's very important to me because like I said earlier, you know, it could take any one of us at any time. You could be you could be fine today and then a couple weeks from now you may find a little lump and then it's on from there. You know what I'm saying? So it's always going to be something that's very important. It's always going to be something that I'm passionate about. So it was an honor for me. You know, it's just that we as women need to stick together. We need to support each other. We need to inform each other and educate each other when we don't know something. Because what my doctor, one of my older doctors, she had told me one time, and she used to be my mom's doctor. My mom absolutely loved her because my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer in 98, and she had my baby sister in 99. So they were trying to help her get through her treatment, or help her get through her pregnancy with my baby sister so that she could get back to having her treatment. And so we shared the same doctor, the same OBGYN. And my mother absolutely loved her because at one point when my mom was going through all of that, she had high blood pressure. And Dr. James would sit and rub my mom's arm until her blood pressure came down. And so me and Dr. James would talk, and she had a patient, you know, because it's scary, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's scary. And when you like that, it, you know, for me, it is scary, even though, by the grace of God, I haven't been diagnosed with breast cancer. I've been having mammograms since my early 20s because of the strong family history. And, you know, thank you to the Lord above. I'm breast cancer free. I haven't been diagnosed, but it is scary. And it can happen at any time. You know, that's not to say that it can't happen next year. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
right.
Dr. James had advised me that she, you know, she and I would talk about it. And she was like, well, you know, baby, you may get it. You know, it's a good chance that you could get it. Just like I said earlier, you know, women that have a first degree relative who's been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so that's my mother, you know, and then my grandmother, too. You know, your chances double that you may get it. So, it is scary for me. I think about it. It's not that I don't think about it. But when she and I talked, she was like, well, you know, you may get it. But don't be scared. You know, if you catch it early, your survival rates are high. You know, she actually had a patient who was 15 that from breast cancer.
The what? Did you say she was from breast cancer? You went out.
She was 15 years old, and she passed away from breast cancer. She had a patient that was 15. Wow. So, yeah. So, you know, it can happen at any time. It can happen at any age. And so we just have to remain vigilant. We have to stay prayed up, and we have to help each other.
Yeah. Man, and I know for breast cancer, I need everyone to just remember, like, globally, breast cancer affects more women than any other type of cancer. It is the leading cause of cancer-related deaths among women.
Yeah.
So, you know, like for African-American women, we have a 31% breast cancer mortality rate, the highest of any racial or ethnic group.
Yeah.
So definitely we need to check on our sisters and our tatas.
Listen, B, you like them tatas. You like saying tatas.
I'm the kid. I do. Like, me and my baby girl, so I have a baby girl, and we have big names for almost every body part you can think of. Like, her dad sometimes does not approve, because he's just like, I feel like we can't talk about these. And my daughter, she just go around. She's like, don't be touching on my tatas. I'm like, girl, you ain't got no, but you know. So, yeah, the tatas. I mean, I don't have, you know, big for Dunkin' Donuts watermelons, so I have to stick with the tatas.
Yeah, we're going to let you stick with the tatas.
He and Tamara just sound like grown folks, grown women in tatas. Like, he and Tamara, they grown and just, they out there. Like, they like D-cups or something. I wasn't blessed with D-cups only when I was pregnant, and God snatched them away because I didn't know how to act.
Oh, wow. So, Shalonda, you know, we're approaching our last few moments of the show. You know, I think I want to see if, you know, there's like one or two people that's on here. I think I want to see if we have any questions or comments. It looks like caller from Milwaukee, last four digits of your number, 8042. 8042, you're live and on the air. Do you have any questions or comments for our guests or our panel? Okay. I guess not everybody's in listening mode, because maybe they're just like us. They're learning. You know what I'm saying? They're interested. They're intrigued about the conversation. But we're going to start closing out our show. Shalonda, do you have any last moment comments or anything like that? Do you have anything that you want our audience and our listeners to leave with?
Well, the only thing I do want to say, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I enjoy talking to you ladies. I've learned some new things too. So just talking to you ladies kind of made me look at some different things. This month is breast cancer awareness, so I just want all women to make sure that they get their mammograms, consistently do your daily checks, just to make sure that you don't have any lumps or you don't feel anything. But if you do, make sure you go to your doctor and to check, just to make sure, because you never know, even though it might be a little cyst, but just to make sure that it's nothing there. But overall, I just wanted to thank you ladies and for having me on the show.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Shani, did you have any last words?
Oh, you know I do. And I do have to, you know what I'm saying, talk about, you know, my breast exams, because they're a little bit different than everybody else's. Okay. My breast again, I know when I first started doing my self exams, my doctor told me, you know, there's a different way that I have to check for my breasts because they're bigger, you know what I'm saying? And they're, I don't know what the term is, but they're not knotted, but they're weird. I don't know what, but I have to check a little differently. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's probably what prompted me to go, you know, when I was 26 years old, you know, hey, I thought it was a lump, but it wasn't a lump. It was actually something else, you know? And, I think it's very important to know your body, know your breasts, know, you know what I'm saying, the type of breasts you have, you know, because I did, my breasts got bigger over the years, you know what I'm saying? And just knowing that, and I didn't get a boob job, you know, not yet, but I mean, I'm just saying, not yet, you ladies, not yet, but on a serious note, you know, just knowing your body, knowing the type of breast you have, knowing that, you know, cancer is out there, not encouraging people to be a hypochondriac or anything like that, but just, you know, eating right, taking care of your body, and, you know, just being aware. You know, it's important for us to get mammograms. It's important for us, you know, for early detection, because that is, it's essential, you know, when we're fighting a disease, early detection. And I'm not an expert, you know, but I love my I love my sisters. I want the best for my sisters, and I want you guys all, and my brothers too, you know what I'm saying? And I want you guys all to leave with, you know, we got this. You know what I'm saying? We're survivors, we're fighters, whatever, you know, is put in our lap, we can handle, you know? So with that, I also want to thank Shalonda for, you know what I'm saying, blessing us with her wisdom and, you know, everyone else. So, you know, I'm thankful, I'm happy, and, you know, thank you for being a part of the show, Shalonda. We really, truly do appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. V, did you have any last words?
For me, it's just, as always, pretty much the same repetitive. It's 31 days this month. There is no reason not to do a self-check. Y'all can do one tonight when y'all take y'all nighttime showers.
Uh-huh.
Do a self-check, period. You know, even with your mate. Just make it a group effort. Just, you know, get in the shower together for all I care and just check each other. Just because this is something that it's just the most progressive cancer out there for anything and anybody, and especially us in the Black community. So we just have to be serious. We have to take things serious. Like, I mean, even right now with COVID, people don't want to take COVID seriously. Okay, if y'all not going to take that serious, take breast cancer serious. Because I do several breast cancer walks a year, which this will probably be the first year that I don't do a breast cancer walk, which kind of breaks my heart. But I think I'm going to do something privately with my family. We're just going to do walks in memoration of people that we have lost and survived on our own. But it's just something is real. You know, it can be stopped. You know, it is something that can be prevented, or not even prevented, but it's something that can be prevented if we detect it early. So check them tatas. Don't be afraid. It's okay. And if you feel something, call on your sister, girl, your homie, friend, whomever, and say, I need you to go to the doctor with me, because I'm one of them friends. If you call me and say you felt a lump, I'm with you. I'm calling in sick that day, and we're going to the doctor together if you need a support system, just because it's just we saving top ties, and that's what we're trying to do today.
Aw, B, you're such a good friend.
She is, isn't she? Can I make a corny joke before, you know what I'm saying, you say something, Maya? I mean, we've been talking about big...
Oh, Lord. Corny joke.
You know, I'm a cornball. Anyways,
yes, Lord.
You know, we've been talking about little tatas. We've been talking about big tatas. But can I say all tatas matter?
Yes. All tatas matter.
All tatas matter.
Yes.
Big, small. Yes.
Absolutely.
We are going to be talking about body positivity. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep this going on, you know, for the month of October, you know, just women and positive, you know what I'm saying, conversations, or just women health. And we're going to talk about booties, you know, all booties. Booties, big booties, medium booties,
all flat booties, no booties.
Yes, no booties, flat booties, you know what I'm saying? Yes, all booties matter, and body positivity, you know what I'm saying? We're pushing, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have two beautiful ladies from a podcast called Keeping It Cute with P3 that are going to join us on a conversation, and I'm so excited to have these ladies on our show next week. So
absolutely.
I just want to say that, Jewel, all booties matter, and all tatas matter.
All booties matter and all tatas matter.
You're right. That wasn't too corny, Shani. It was too corny.
I need to see me getting a pink shirt with a pink ribbon that say all tatas matter, and then at the bottom in like fine print, like all booties matter too.
Right. Absolutely. Now, Shalonda, before we get ready to get out of here, I do want to ask, if for any of our listeners who are listening, do you know of any programs, if someone, you know, may be thinking of getting checked, if they need a mammogram, but they may not be able to afford it, or anything, any programs that you may know of that can assist our listeners or our sisters who need to be checked for breast cancer?
The number one for me is the Susan J. Komen. They do help as far as getting mammograms, as far as getting checks. They are very good as far as supporting women for different reasons, as far as for money, as far as if you do have breast cancer, mm-hmm. or as getting your mammograms, for helping with MRIs, for different things. So I think that is my biggest, that was one of my biggest supporters, and I actually give money back to them yearly. So when I get, even though I am a survivor, now I donate money to them because I know where the money is going. It's different when you right. don't know, and you're right. kind of like, you don't know if you want to give this money to these
somewhere.
People. Yes, I know where this money is going. I know that even if something, knock on wood, that, you know, never come back, but I know I can always call them and they will always support me. So I think that is a very good, they're very good as far as supporting anyone.
Good. I know I also support the Susan G. Komen Foundation or organization as well. Another program that we found out about when my mother and my grandmother were both going through fighting breast cancer, was ABCD, which is After Breast Cancer Diagnosis. And that's usually, it's a nonprofit organization that usually helps, you know, women who have been diagnosed, and now it's like, what happens next? So they have like mm-hmm. mentors, who mentor these ladies and help them along the process. And it's just really a good organization. I've given to them, as well as Susan G. Komen. And supported some of their functions and fundraisers because, you know, we need that. You know, these ladies, right. You know, they need that support. So, you know, just like, you know, the Susan G. Komen program, or that program was the one that supported you. You know, you need that support. Not only
yes.
do you need the family support, family and friends, but sometimes you need an outside organization, mm-hmm. their support. Because you may not know what to do next.
Yeah, and there's another one. If you go to, like, the CDC website, cdc.gov, or if you just Google the National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program, you can put in your state, just because we have listeners that are in different states. You can put in your mm-hmm. state, and they'll try to give you a program if there are any in your state that have some free programs or low-cost programs where you can go get a free low-cost mammogram cervical check. So also,
oh, cool.
I say it again, cdc.gov, the National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program.
Awesome. That is so awesome. Thank you so much for that, V, because I didn't know that.
Y'all know I just be
did
everywhere,
not know
girl.
That.
I be researching all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, we are nearing the last few moments of our show. We want to thank you for being here with us tonight. Just like the other lady said, enjoyed our conversation. You did give us a lot of information and talk.
Well, I do appreciate that. I do appreciate anything that I know from working in cancer care, or from even having breast cancer, anything I can help someone else. That means a lot to me.
Right.
Ashe, thank you so much, or whatever. We truly do appreciate it. And we learned so much, like Maya said, you know, and we definitely want to keep these conversations going on. We definitely want to get our friends together so we can, you know, like go and, you know, get checked together, have a mammogram date, you know, as we said earlier in the conversation, red wine only. And Maya, I know, right? Red wine only.
Not red wine only.
Yes, red wine only because it's the good wine. We can't.
Okay.
But you know what? That is something really to think about, because if having having somewhere where everyone can get checked, and maybe it will bring more women to know that it's okay to get checked. So they won't feel, maybe they're scared to get checked, and maybe they know that, okay, she'll get checked and we can all go together. So that is a good thought.
Ashe. You know what? We could probably, after 7, we could probably put it together. Shalonda, with your help, we'll definitely, you know what I'm saying, see if we could put an event together, and, you know, we can, we'll do it. Y'all ladies down?
I would love it.
And then we forgot to give a shout out to Sister Strut. You know, I don't know if they're, you know what I'm saying, nationwide, but I know that they do, you know, raise money towards African American women and breast cancer research and also assistance. So shout out to Sister Strut. Sister Strut.
Shout out to Sister Strut. They always make it fun when they have their events.
Is it one? Is something's coming up this weekend, I think. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's some kind of walk. I don't know what walk it is, but it's a walk this weekend.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's a walk this weekend somewhere. Someone invited me to a
walk. Oh, wow. I wasn't sure if the walks were actually still going on because of COVID, but that would be awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think my mom said that she got a cancellation from Susan G. Comey, but I'm not sure. But that was like a while ago, so I'm like, with it being different, maybe not. I love to go out there and walk. I'll put on my mask for that. I will put on my mask
right.
for that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't do nothing else with hoops.
All right. Well, thank you again, Shalonda. Maya, close it out, sis.
Yes. Thank you so much, Shalonda, for being with us, sharing your story, as well as everything else. Like, and we will see you guys next week when we talk about positive body image.
Thank you.
In motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say. explosion. This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Still got a lot of fire left in me.